This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Will the police, they come with their ball and chain?
Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary in the Upper Cumberland region of Tennessee opened back in 1896. The big house was notorious for working prisoners 12-hour shifts in the adjacent coal mines. This is the place where Martin Luther King's assassin was incarcerated. Designed to hold 584 inmates, more than 1,200 were often crammed into the cells. The prison closed in 2009, but today it lives on as a historical site, replete with a moonshine distillery, a restaurant, and live music concerts with performers such as Dwight Yoakam. Overnight paranormal adventure tours inside the prison walls have become the rage. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me at Brushy Mountain, where we visit with Brian May, who along with his partner operate the former prison as a tourist attraction. Brushy has quickly become a super popular Tennessee tourist destination and a significant employer in the Upper Cumberland region.
Oh, the judge, you listen. Clerk, he wrote it down.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the former state prison, Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. It's Signal Mountain, Tennessee. And we're here with Brian May, who's been involved in its new incarnation. Tell us about what happened when the prison closed not that long ago.
Yeah, so the prison was decommissioned in 2009. The fall of 2012, my partner was on a charity motorcycle ride, and he called me and said, "Hey, what do you think we can do with a prison?" And I said, "Stay out of it. I don't know what else you do with a prison, but I don't want to go near one." But he said, "Next week, I want to bring you up and show you this prison. We've got to figure out something to do with it."
So it was just sitting here, rotting away.
It was just sitting here since 2009, not doing anything. It was a liability for the citizens of Tennessee. Depending on which report you read, it was costing the state of Tennessee somewhere between $500,000 and $700,000 a year just to maintain, cut the grass, keep people out of it, have some security up here, that kind of thing. And, wow. But it wasn't being used. Pete and I went to the state and said, "Hey, how do we do this?" And a couple of our state senators, Senator Yeager specifically, was very generous with his time in helping us navigate how you take a publicly owned piece of property and turn it over to private hands. And that took about 3.5 years, that process alone.
So what was your vision and how did you implement it? And how did you pull it off?
Well, we started just by doing some market research and some feasibility studies just to see if people would come up here. And we visited several prisons around the East Coast and talked to their executive directors. And we thought, based on our market research and based on what we're learning, prison tourism is one of the fastest growing types of tourism in the country. And so we decided we were going to do it. And that's when we started working on funding and talking to banks and that kind of thing. And they all said no. And everybody we talked to said we're crazy. To which we replied, "Of course we are. That's why we're going to pull this off." So lo and behold, 7 years later, we opened. And
so you convinced somebody to help you underwrite.
Pete and I decided that we would write the checks ourselves.
Wow. So you're gutsy partner.
Yeah, that's what we decided to do because we were told we couldn't do it. And that's kind of who we are.
So far, have you done it?
Yeah, I would say so, for sure. We opened in August of last year. We opened for 12 weeks last year, sort of a soft opening. Mm-hmm. We ran almost 45,000 people through here. We had
Without hardly anybody knowing about it.
And we didn't really do anything except a little social media because we didn't want to have it get out of hand.
So here you were in your first year, your soft opening for a short period of time, and 45,000 people show up to tour the prison. That's incredible.
We were pleasantly surprised and a little scared at the same time. Our first real concert weekend was about a month after we opened. We had the country music singer Jamie Johnson come through, and in Tennessee, he's a huge draw anyway. We had about 6,000 people on the property that day, and then we had about 4,000 people attend the show. And that's when Pete and I both looked at one another during that show, and we look around, and Jamie Johnson's doing like a 12-minute version of "This Land Is Our Land." And we both look at one another, and we've done other things together, but we just looked at one another, and we said, "Can you believe we pulled this off?" It's gotten better every day since.
Talk to us about ongoing. This is season 2, year 2 for you guys. what happens? How does somebody come here? What do they see? What do they do? What are the, like, special events?
Yep. So this is our first full season open. We opened in April. We'll be open through the end of November, which is about the time the weather starts to break pretty bad around here up in the mountain. This year, we have the full facility open. We'll have several concerts this summer with Dwight Yoakam kicking off the concert series.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, in June. That's a huge draw. We'll have about 4,000 or 5,000 here for that show. When you come on property, you'll be met with some of the nicest people you'll ever meet in the world. A lot of the people that work here are related to people that used to work here, or they used to work here. And
so you have former retired guards that will take you on a tour.
We have retired guards that'll take you on a tour. We even have a couple of ex-cons that used to serve time.
I heard about that.
Yeah, and they'll take you on a tour. And the crazy thing is, you could do a tour with a guard and get one perspective. Mm-hmm. And a version of stories, and you do the same tour with an ex-con that used to be here, and he'll tell the same stories, but it's a different perspective. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. So you got to come twice at least.
Oh, yeah, you got to come twice. But yeah, once you roll on the property, there's about a 4,000 square foot gift shop. There's a large restaurant. We have a distilling facility where we make moonshine, and we'll launch a vodka toward the end of the summer. Our bottling facility is here for the moonshine. You'll get to tour a good portion of the main prison and a bunch of the outbuildings. And there's a museum with lots of artifacts in it, and a theater where we have an 18-minute mini documentary that we produced that runs at the top and the bottom of the hour.
Going back in time when this was an active state prison, you had some truly infamous characters here. One I'm thinking of that escaped and they finally caught.
Yeah, he escaped a couple of times.
And that was
James Earl Ray. For your listeners that may be a little younger, he's the one that shot and killed Martin Luther King. He was here for a good while. And one of the interesting questions that we get and the guides get is, what was James Earl Ray's prison cell? And his prison cell was every prison cell. Everyone wanted to make a name by saying that they got in a fight with, or maybe even murdered, James Earl Ray. So they moved him around. Every day he was in a different cell.
Every day?
Every day they
moved
him. And that was one of the more interesting things for me when we first started this project, because that was one of my first questions, was which cell was he in? And we were quickly corrected when we thought we had the right cell, and it was all of them.
That's really interesting. And did he die while he was in prison here?
He did not die while he was in prison here. He was stabbed 13 times while he was here. And after that stabbing, he was taken to the hospital and treated. And while he was at the hospital, he contracted hepatitis C. And years later, he died as a result of that hepatitis C.
And this really was an infamous prison, not a nice place to go. I mean, mining coal was part of your daily work here?
Yeah, 12 hours a day. Not just a normal 8-hour day, but it was 12 hours a day, and you were sharing your cell with three other inmates. So two of you would be out in the mines mining, and two would be back resting for their 12-hour shift.
So they'd rotate?
They'd rotate in and out. The prison was built for about 450 inmates, and at its height, it was almost 1,100 here.
So they packed them
in? They were on top of one another.
So it opened, what, 1896?
1896 was the first version of the prison. It was built out of wood by the prisoners. It caught fire and burned a number of years later. And then in 1936, this version of the prison was completed. And the prisoners then built this prison with stone that they quarried out of the mountains around the facility.
Wow, interesting. And where are we located, and how do people get here, say, from Nashville or Knoxville?
Yep. We're located in Morgan County, Tennessee, Petros, Tennessee, to be specific, population 501. So when we have people on site on a normal Saturday in the summer, there are more people at the prison than there are population of the town we're in. And so from Knoxville, you would come, I believe it's Highway 62 straight in front of the prison, and take 116.
And how far from Knoxville are you?
We're about 35 minutes from Knoxville, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes from Oak Ridge. We're about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Chattanooga, about 2 hours from Nashville.
And so far with your marketing, Facebook and whatnot, where have you tracked where people are coming from?
We have. We keep kind of an eye on the license plates in the parking lot. We've had people from, we've had California plates and Iowa plates. And then during the Jamie Johnson concert, we had people from far away as Iowa and Idaho and Minneapolis, Minnesota, that bought tickets and flew here to see Jamie Johnson play at a prison.
How much does a ticket to go on a prison tour cost? and a kind of a baseline for your live music performances.
Yep. So a general tour ticket, meaning you can walk around, spend as much time on site as possible and read as much as you want, is $12. And then a guided tour with a group of 20 to 25 is $20.
And under 12 kids?
Under 12 kids are free.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then concerts range from about $15 a ticket, depending on who.
$15, $15.
Yep. And then,
do you know what concert tickets go for?
Yeah, we do. And that's one of the things that we wanted to do when we opened this prison was make sure we kept things affordable. You're in a part of Tennessee that's not necessarily the most privileged part of the United States, and we wanted the locals to be able to come anytime they wanted to, and we even give them a discount if they present their driver's license.
Very cool. And economic development and employment opportunities are not really too...
They're almost non-existent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what you guys have created is an economic opportunity for the local people here, which is growing. Your restaurant and whatnot. Tell us about how that has helped.
So one of the conversations we had with the state in the very beginning was, it's one of a handful of distressed counties in Tennessee, and our pitch to them was, let's take this liability and turn it into an asset. We can employ people.
How many people have you employed in your pro forma do you see next year?
Yeah, so on any given Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we will have about 45 to 60 employees on site, depending on whether it's a holiday weekend or that kind of thing. And then when we have a concert, we know we're going to have 3,000 or 4,000 people here. We'll have about 115 employees plus some third-party security. And when you start talking those numbers, it puts us number three employer in the county.
I was just thinking that myself. It's got to be one of the top.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
And it's, in your vision, it's definitely going to grow and grow.
Oh, yeah. Once we build the whiskey distillery and we start doing that and a couple other things that we have for the future, like the RV park and a couple other things, the projections are that we'll have about 75 to 80 regular full-time employees and then about 125 to 150 on big weekends.
That's so cool. Brian May, thanks for sharing.
Happy to do it. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. And a website where somebody could learn more?
Yep, we've got two websites. One is tourbrushy.com, and that's where you can find out about the paranormal tours and buy tour tickets and those kinds of things. And then we have shopbrushy.com, and that's where you can buy pretty much anything that's in the gift shop.
And Facebook?
So, yeah, if you just go to Facebook and search for Historic Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary, you'll find the official Facebook page. It's the one with about 25,000 to 30,000 followers.
Cool. And one more thing I want to add. You have paranormal tours of the prison. Tell us about that.
We do. So we got a call, geez, I don't know, before we even opened. A bunch of paranormal groups from California, New York, and all over, New Jersey, and they were calling us constantly. We want to come do tours. We want to come do this paranormal thing we do. And so we said, yeah, you know, why not? We'll open it up. You can have it for the night and tell us what you find. Well, apparently they found a bunch of ghosts and spirits or whatever they do, and it kind of took off online. And then we started to get so many calls, we decided that we would sell tickets and start charging for it, because it was every day we were getting calls, people wanting, you know, to come up and I guess chase a ghost.
So that's happening, ongoing, yeah. Paranormal tours.
You can book tours online. If you go
to, is that nighttime?
It's at night. There's a half tour that starts around 8 o'clock and goes to midnight, and then the full tour starts at 10 p.m. and goes to 6 a.m. and that's the real scary one.
I just got out of prison, and it was in the daytime.
It's
I don't
scary.
Know that I want to go back there.
Now. No, I don't like going in it at night. I believe in spirits, and I'm telling you, it's a creepy place at night.
I bet it is. All right, Brian May, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Signal Mountain, Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Will the police, they come with their ball and chain? They arrested me for murder.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.
Kirky wrote it down. Well, the judge, he listened. Kirky wrote